should be grateful for. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the houses and the land. I'm not talking about the money in the bank. I'm not talking about the nice attire. We got a lot to be grateful for because Jesus stood in our way. Jesus blocked us from going to hell. There's more than money. There's more than houses and land. There's more than nice attires, nice cars, that even more than a nice building. But Jesus got in our way and stopped us from going to hell. Amen. Now give God some hand clap of praise like you thankful and you are truly grateful. Get your mind off of things. I'm going to go far enough to say get your mind off why I'm up here. Start thinking about how good God's been to you. Amen, amen. Let me go and clear the air right quick since I'm right here. Let me go and clear the air right quick. Because I'm just who I am. I'm just who God raised me up to be. So I want to tell you, I know why your reason is for having me here. But I'm going to tell you something. I do not preach for position. I preach for the purpose of God. And we've got to be careful, preachers, when we stand up in front of folks. When God give us an opportunity to be in front of folks, that we preach for His purpose and not for a position. Now, I'll tell you this and I'm going to pray. You can do what you want to do with this position. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come, Father, with thanksgiving in our heart. We come, O Lord, because as the song says, we are grateful. We come acknowledging that Thou art God, and besides Thee, there is no other. We come, Heavenly Father, because we know no other to turn to. So we ask forgiveness of our many sins and ask that You please cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray that You build us up where we are torn down and that You strengthen us where we are weak. Let Your will be done. Open our hearts and mind to receive what the Spirit says unto the church, that we may grow and be mature in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You now for this local assembly. Thank You, Father, for our pastor. Thank You for all these preaching brethren, all the officers and the members and everyone who have gathered in this place to hear You say something to them. Speak to us and through us and to Your people, that revelation will be given and that strength will be afforded, that we can go a little while longer. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. First of all, I want to give honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our pastor, these ministers, and to all the officers, to those in whom are a part of the search committee. We thank you all for just allowing us to be here. It's a great honor and a great privilege, and one that we don't really take very lightly, and that is standing before God's people. So with that being said, I want to call your attention to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. And we're going to read verses 18 through verse 22. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, verse 18 through verse 22. Amen. When you have found it, you will find these words. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ending, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen.
Amen.
I want to use a thought today. STD in the church. STD in the church. And I know every time you hear those acronyms, your mind immediately goes to sexually transmitted disease. However, that is not the meaning of them in this topic. The meaning is spiritually transmitted disease. Spiritually transmitted disease. The church, God's people, God's house has a sickness. But this sickness, as Jesus described about Lazarus, is not unto death. But we must acknowledge that there's a sickness around. If we go back to the beginning of this message by the prophet, this message actually begins in chapter 7, where God told Jeremiah, I want you to stand in the door of the temple, of the temple gates. And he wanted him to refute the false belief of the people of God that God would not let harm come to them or even come to them while they're in the temple. So God said, hey, Jeremiah, come here. I got something I want you to do. Because I'm paying attention to my people. And stand in the gate of this temple. I want you to declare these words to them. There was a old theologian named J.C. Ryle. He was a bishop, and he lived between the years of 1816 and 1900. He died at the age of 84. But he quoted this that just really kind of just beat all upon me. Because one day I was praying, and I asked the Lord to build me spiritually. And these words, I ran across this quote from him. And it is, he says, I am convinced that the first step toward attaining a higher standard of holiness is to realize more fully the amazing sinfulness of sin.
Mama.
Before we build anything with us or with each other pertaining to spiritual growth, we got to first realize the amazing sinfulness of sin.
That's right.
That's right.
Because we can very well be building on top of sin.
Yeah.
Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church, and he, as he was sending Timothy, he told Timothy these words. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to establish them. Then I want you to exhort them. And it's very important to watch the word in there. See, because he wanted Timothy to make sure he established them first. Because if he went in there to exhort them on top of the mess they was already in, then they would be building on top of a bad foundation. So he said, establish them first, then exhort them. And so we got to first understand the amazing sinfulness of sin before we can build up on anything. So when we talk about this STD in the church, we have two major points we wanna bring to you. And the first one is the fearful condition of the church. There is a fearful condition of the church. There's a fearful condition of the church. When we look at our text, we can see where in Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 18, he said these words. He said, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Now watch this. So the first thing we want to look at dealing with this fearful condition of the church, one of the most fearful condition of the church that the church can have is a faint-hearted preacher. Amen.
Yeah.
When God man's heart drops, there are some issues that we need to pay attention to. And when you have this STD in the church, you have to watch three things. Number one, you have to watch. You have to watch, and this is not the order, but I'm just calling them in the order according to the text here, according to what I have here. You have to watch three very vital entities of the church. Number one, you have to watch the preacher. When you have an STD in the church, you got to watch the preacher. Number two, you got to watch the people. And then number three, you got to watch God. When we have these issues in the church. So the first thing we want to do is look at the preacher right quick. And that's his heart have been fainted. It says that because when I wanted to comfort myself, in other words, when I wanted to laugh, when I wanted to enjoy myself, when I wanted to rejoice and have a jubilee time in my life, he said, I couldn't find no comfort in my heart. And this was because the Lord had shown Jeremiah the condition of his people. And when God showed him that his whole heart had fallen. And I got a question. How can a preacher be satisfied with the spiritual condition of the church? How can we be jubilant? How can we be rejoiceful? How can we act as if nothing is wrong? When we look at the spiritual condition of the church. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you want to laugh, you can't help but cry. And here Jeremiah is paying attention because he had labored with these folk. And it's hard to labor with people. And be on the battlefield together to one day watch their demise. This is where Jeremiah found himself. And this is where we as a people,
We as a church, and I ain't talking about New Bethlehem, I'm talking about any church that's open in the name of the Lord. This is where we have found ourselves as a people. We as a church, if we open our spiritual eyes, this is where we have found ourselves. Now I'm going to say this. I know we are building big buildings. I know that's happening. I ain't crazy. And I know because of the physical success of large congregations, it has inspired smaller ones to pursue greater physical conditions. And ain't nothing wrong with that. However, what have happened in this process is this. It has moved our attention off the spiritual and placed it on the physical, and the result is the STD have set in. So Jeremiah's heart is hurting because of the condition of his people. And not only that, when we look at this fearful condition, it causes a preacher, or it causes a faint-hearted preacher. But there's another thing I want to bring out on this is, it causes a fallen spiritual morale of people. Amen. Amen. See, we got to understand something. Jeremiah here is talking in the voice of the people now. When we read verse 19, Jeremiah is saying, he says, "Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country." Look what he started talking in their voice. He said, "Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in here, in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with graven images and with strange vanities?" I really didn't want to read that part, but I went on and read it. But the two questions that he put forth, that's what we want to pay attention to when we talk about the spiritual morale of the people. See, he hears the cries, or he hears the cries of the people of God. And when he had it hearing the cries of the people of God, that is what caused his heart to faint. And so when we look at this thing then, if you read it, it says, behold, what this says is, we need to look at this in a different translation. What this phrase is in the New English translation is, "I hear my dear people crying out." And what that means is, because of what was about to take place with these people, because what's happening is, this is a prophecy. And God had shown Jeremiah what was going to take place with the people when God responded to their issues. And what was going to respond was, he was going to send them down in captivity by the Babylonians going to come in. The Chaldeans was going to come in. But God gave it to Jeremiah just like it was happening then. And so he's hearing what's going to take place, or he's hearing what the people are going to be doing when they are found, when they become in captivity. And he said, "I can hear the cries because of how the captivity is going to be on them." If we open our eyes and look at the morale of our people in the church, we can hear the cries because of the disease that's in the church. If we just open our ears, we can hear them crying out to us. And so the morale of the people had fallen. And let me tell you what morale means, because it has a lot of understanding to it. See, the morale means the confidence, enthusiasm, and discipline of a person or group at a particular time. That's what it means. So what we got to understand is, when we come into the church house, we got to have a spiritual ear to hear the cries of the people. Because their crying is saying something is wrong. I didn't say they laughing. They're crying is saying something is wrong. And what you have to understand is sometimes their laughing is actually a covering for their crying. We got to open my eyes. And so the church, my brothers and sisters, cannot be a place that the people have lost confidence in. When the people lose, when their morale have fallen, people have lost confidence in the church, especially the black church. The black church was the pillar of our communities. Now we don't have confidence in going in that we can find strength because the morale has fallen. Because of the condition that we have found ourselves in. This is why children feel like it's wrong to come in and mourn in the church. Children, ain't nothing wrong with mourning sometimes. Ain't nothing wrong with letting people know you're hurting sometimes. Because you cannot hide everything and expect success to come out of it. Adults don't want to mourn in the church no more. It seems old. It seems unnecessary. But it is when you mourn that God can communicate with you. The morale of the people have fallen. The spiritual morale is down. And we are hiding behind, coming in, holding up holy hands and holding, saying hallelujah and building big buildings. But our morale, spiritual morale is down. And we're finding that we don't have no confidence in coming into the house of God. Then there's no enthusiasm. Another understanding of the word morale. It's a sad time when people are not excited about coming into the house. Very sad time when they're not excited, enthused. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now we get up and saying, I guess I'll go and go to church. See, he said, I'm so enthusiasm. And then, when you keep your eyes on the spiritual morale of the people, you have to watch the discipline. Amen. When a folk can come in God's house and do anything and everything, that don't mean they bad. That means their spiritual morale is down. Amen. Because their focus is not on worship. Their focus is not on celebrating the risen Christ. Their focus is on trying to make sure that I'm heard. Make sure I can do what I want to do. Spiritual morale be down. Because their attention is no longer on worship. Their attention is on me. So we have to pay attention to the spiritual morale of the people. When we look at this fearful condition of the church. The church cannot be a place that people feel as if they can't find God. Amen. We got some issues. When all we want to come to church to do is to see how well you're going to sing. We got some issues. When we come to church is smile and make folks think we happy. We got some issues. When the folk don't feel like that they can come to church and may have confidence in finding God. We got some issues. And we hiding it behind all of this cloak that we have. This happy cloak. This successful cloak. We're hiding what's truly wrong with God's house. And I'm going to tell you, God see it. This sickness is not unto death. But it's in here. It's where you go. I don't care where you worship, big or small. It's in there. That's why he told Jeremiah, stand at the gate. Stand at the temple gate. When they come in, tell them they got a problem. So, the question that was put forth is not the Lord in Zion? Still dealing with the fallen spiritual morale of the people. Is not her king in her? This cry is a prayer to God for God's people. I'm going to ask you a question. Do we believe that God is in his church? These types of prayers come from a people that have a fallen and broken spiritual morale. The church has got to pay attention to her people's spiritual morale. We're looking at everything but what we need to be looking at. You've got to pay attention to your people's spiritual morale. Then the final thing I want to pay attention to, I want you to pay attention to under this condition is, you got to then look at a frustrated God. Amen. You got to look at a frustrated God. Notice what the text says. The text says in this B portion that God, when they asked those questions, God broke in. Jeremiah talking in the voice of God now. He said, God broke in. God says, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? See, they're asking, is God in her? Is God in Zion? You know, because we're going through this and you're allowing us to go through this. I thought you were Jehovah God. I thought you was all powerful. God said, hold on, let me put them in check right quick. Wait a minute. Why are you provoking me with them crazy questions? Like ain't nothing wrong with you. Why are you provoking me? So God breaks in with the question. And says, wait a minute, he's showing his frustration now. See, we got to watch the text. And like I told you, Jeremiah is talking in the voice of God now. See, we got to understand something. Let me show you something right quick. Let me hit this right quick and then I'm gonna move on. Alright, now if we go back to Jeremiah chapter 8. I'm gonna stay in chapter 8 now. I want to read this verse 6 right quick. Because those questions was crying out to God, which means they were praying to God. Okay, now watch in chapter 6. They were asking those questions as if God wasn't there. But watching verse 6, Jeremiah 8 and verse 6, God says, I hearkened and heard, but they spoke not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse rushes into battle. Now watch this. Now let's look at it. Now we can see that God, when he broke in, he was frustrated because they were saying, you hadn't heard us. Are you here? Are you listening to us? We're going through something. We are your people. So are you going to come and help us? We are not saved. What you going to do about our problem? God, wait a minute. Let me break in now. See, what we got to understand is this. When you look at verse 6 in this chapter, it shows us that God says, I've been hearing you praying. That's what it's saying. I've been hearing you praying. And so when you break it down, it says this. God said, wait a minute. When you get down, he said, wait a minute. I've been hearing you praying. See, every time the answer to a prayer don't come back like you want it, don't mean that God didn't answer it. So, but let me share, I'm gonna hit this right quick. Let me hit praying right quick, cause praying is a special weapon of the church. Watch what's happening when we pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. The prayer says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, men ought to always pray and not faint. Now what this does, this implies, those two passages of scripture implies a praying habit, which means that we should have a praying habit. Now, if we ought to pray without ceasing, if we ought to pray always, that means we can't go around hollering out all the time. We're in places where we can't be hollering out. Amen. That's what it means. See, but you got to see, this is what Jesus wants us to do. Pray without ceasing and pray always. So what Jesus is trying to indicate to us then, that our oral prayer is, it is not, let me see how I want to put it. Our oral prayer is occasional, and it is simply an outburst. See, if I'm going to be praying without ceasing, and if I'm going to pray always, that means my oral prayer is not always, because I got to be quiet in some places. If I'm praying without ceasing, that means I can't, when I'm in certain places, I can't be saying that, which is an indication then that oral prayer is simply an outburst. So this is why a lot of our prayers are not answered, because we don't understand what's happening, how we are communicating with God. See, when we look at it, have an understanding of this thing. When God tells us this, He's relating to our thoughts, our character, our afflictions, and our feelings. So watch this then. Watch why a lot of our prayers don't get answered. Watch why God said, I heard you, but you weren't praying right. Now watch this. In according to how we really communicate with God and how we really talk to God always, we got some issues. Why? We got some issues in our prayer life. Why? Because if prayer then is our thoughts, that means that I can be praying always in my thoughts. Let me ask you a question. What have you been thinking about? When it comes to your enemy, what are you thinking about? When it comes to lust and pleasure, what are you thinking about? Because when you're thinking, you're communicating with God. So what you thinking about? See, what Israel failed to understand, because of the affliction, as Jeremiah prophesied, because of the affliction, they began to have an aura outburst. But that's all it was, an aura outburst, because they were living foul. That's why he said, I heard you, but you weren't praying right. See, because your aura outburst saying one thing, but guess what? Your thoughts are dealing with adultery. Your thoughts are dealing with harlots. Your thoughts are dealing with everything that's not like me. So this is why a lot of our prayers have not been answered, because all we're focused on is our oral outburst. That's why we try to pray and make sure we say the right words, because we're only concerned with our oral outburst. That's why when we pray, we try to pray long, because we're only concerned with our oral outburst. And these are issues in God's house. But see, when the STD is in there, when that spiritual transmitted disease is in there, we fail to understand these things. We only concern with our oral outburst. And so, the next point that we need to understand is, so not only did we have when we talk about a spiritual, the fearful condition of the church, we have a faint-hearted preacher that's troubling. We have a fallen spiritual morale of people, and we have a frustrated God. But the next point I want to bring out, and I'll be through with you, is the frightening misfortunes of the church. The frightening misfortunes of the church. See, because of this STD that's in the church, we miss a lot of positive things that we need to see. And they are frightening. And the first one is, we need to pay attention to the church favorable seasons. We need to be given attention to when the church is in their favorable seasons. And when we have this condition in the church, we miss this vital thing. This is a misfortune that we don't focus on what's happening when the church is in its favorable season. Amen. Amen. Notice now. Let me get to this. Notice what the Bible says. The text says the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. See what I'm talking about? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Summer is a favorable position, a favorable season for growth, a favorable season for gathering. You know, summer is. And so Jeremiah is saying, he said, hey, the people, he's talking in the voice of the people now, see. He said, the people are saying, hey, the summer, the harvest is past and the summer is ended and we're not saved. In other words, we're still in captivity. We're still going through what we're going through with. We're still having problems. Well, that was a misfortune because you allowed your favorable season to pass without doing what you needed to do in that season. And we got seasons we've had favorable seasons in the church. But instead of focusing on the spiritual growth of the people, we've been focusing on the physical growth of the church. Every church is going to go through something. And when that favorable season passed, in other words, when we're in our great season of preaching, when we're in our great season of worship, we ought to be trying to get as many souls as we can. We ought to be bringing them in. We ought to be teaching them what it means to be a child of God. What it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. We ought to stop all this faking mess. And don't miss out on your harvest season. Jeremiah said, the people said, hey, the harvest is gone and the summer has ended and we're not saved. Well, I'm going to speak in the voice of God. Well, when you had the chance to do it, you didn't. So we have to watch a church in its favorable season. So one of the most crucial mistakes a church can make is miss out on harvest season. When it's time to gather souls, when it's time to grow spiritually, we don't give it our attention. When the summer was in, we was growing. When we were supposed to be growing spiritually, but we allowed the STD then to affect our lives. And guess what? We did not know it. Notice, when we talk about these STDs, still talking about the church favorable season. Notice, there's a difference between STD and STD. See, in the first one, which is the physical sexually transmitted disease, you don't know you have it until you go and get tested. Amen. With the second one, which is the spiritual transmitted disease, you don't know you have it until you are tested. Now, that GET and that ARE makes the difference. That GET and that ARE makes the difference because with that GET, you know your body's declining. You know you having issues. So you're saying you know what your practice has been. Hey, I better go to the doctor and I better get tested. But with that ARE, God is determining when you're going to get tested. And see, God begins to test you. He may put something in front of you that you love. And guess what? You've been worshiping, saying hallelujah, saying glory to God. And then he put that thing in front of you that you say you love. And then you'll find out, hey, I got a spiritual disease. Amen. And it ain't that vulgar all the time. He may put something in front of you that say, hey, I'm going to let you get in leadership. Amen. I'm going to let you make some determination. I'm going to let you make some decisions. And then when that decision time comes, you mess around and make old crazy decisions. You don't consult God. You don't talk to God. You don't give God no glory. Then you find out that STD got me. So you don't find out you have the spiritual transmitted disease until you are tested. And there's a difference between GET and ARE. So we in this frightening misfortune of the church, we must look at a church favorable seasons. So harvest season may pass without many taking no heed concerning their souls at all. During harvest season, many are convicted. However, it will end up passing without many being converted. We all should be seeking the Lord without delay, because the summer is ending and the harvest is passing. Then there's another thing I told you, you have to look at the preacher, you have to look at the people, and you have to look at God. Now on this, the frightening misfortune of the church, we just looked at the people missing out in their favorable season. Now we're going to look again at a fallen spirit of the preacher. Notice Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment had taken hold on me. Now watch Jeremiah. His spirit now have fallen. His spirit have fallen. See, at first, he couldn't find no comfort, and his heart was messed up. But now his spirit is fallen. And so when we look at this thing, Jeremiah says now in his own voice, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment had taken hold on me. No, the miseries of our people, of our country, of the church, it should be the grief of all of our souls. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When the people of God are broken, the pastor preacher is broken. Jeremiah said, I am broken in heart and in spirit, because he says, I am black. In other words, grief and sorrow has set in with him, because God so vividly showed him the condition of the people as if it was already happening. And when he saw it, and he said, Lord, have mercy. Look what the daughters are going through. And so I'm black now. And he says, astonishment have fallen upon me. In other words, I'm amazed that this has happened to God's people. When we walk in the church, my brothers and sisters, and we open our spiritual eyes, it will amaze you what have happened to God's people. And it'll make your heart drop. We no longer come to the church and look for God no more. We no longer come to the church and listen for God any longer. We come to the church for fashion and for putting on. And we come to the church for all this other mess. That's why our communities are not getting any help. Because we're not concerned with our communities no more. We're only concerned with looking good in front of somebody. And so, the spirit of the preacher had fallen. Because the real preacher sees this. And he says, Lord, he looked through all the fanfare. He looked through all the jubilee. And he sees that these folk ain't studying God. And it causes his spirit to fall. And then, sometimes the actions and events of the church will have you so messed up in the head, as well in the soul, that there is only one thing to do. And I want to pick up on verse 22. And this is what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah began turning
to the favor of God. This sickness is not unto death. He began to turn to the favor of God. Notice when we look at verse 22. He says, is there no balm in Gilead? Boy, it make me happy thinking about that. Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? So notice, first of all, in understanding this, we got to look at it like this right here. We got to, I told you what the man quote was. It amazes him we have to be amazed by the sinfulness of sin. So when Jeremiah turned to the favor of God, we need to understand this first. Sin is here a figurative character of disease. Sin affects the soul much in the same way as disease affects the body. See, let me pause right quick. Watch this. Now, I know we got some nurses in here. Yeah, I know we got some. I see one. I know we got some nurses in here. And they understand how disease get transmitted. There's a way a disease get transmitted by touching a high touch area, which means when you go into the hospital, you touch doorknobs, you touch the elevator buttons, you touch a whole lot of high touch areas. This is why they tell you to jail in and jail out, because you jail in before you go in, and then when you come out of there, you jail out. You can get a transmitted infection like that. That's one way. Another way is through blood. Of course, we know that. But there's another way that we pay no attention to, and that is airborne. Amen. A perfectly healthy person can jail in and go in a room and even come out of that room and jail out and still get infected. Why? Because they caught it through the air. Spiritually transmitted disease don't mean you're sleeping with somebody. A spiritually transmitted disease don't mean you're getting drunk and mean you're on dope and you're doing all these moral physical issues that cause this problem. Guess what? If you don't suit up right when you come in here, it'll get you because it's in the air. That's why you have to put on the whole armor of God. When you're walking in these doors, just because it's the house of God, you better suit up with righteousness. You better put on your feet the preparation of the gospel. You better put on the breastplate of righteousness, because you'll mess around and catch a disease. You better suit up when you come in here. Stop waiting to pray to God before you get here and listen to somebody praying the wrong way. Start praying before you get here. So you won't get caught up with the disease that's in the air. And so this is how we need to understand that. Because sin is a derangement of your spiritual frame. It will impede your spiritual functions. Its strength, your spiritual strength will be enfeebled. Your comfort will be impaired. And the end will, you will end up in danger or destroyed spiritually. So, now we can help you, I can help you understand what this question here. So as I close, we need to understand this. This is why Jeremiah had to turn to the favor of God. He couldn't see everything that was going on, but he knew it was there. He knew he couldn't do nothing about it. So he had to turn to God.